Charlotte.
Absolutely.
Charlotte's a student at Jesus College still.
Yeah.
She's on Labour's National Policy Forum. Amazingly enough, that was set up by Tony Blair in 2004, but hopefully it's doing a lot better work now. And also, interestingly, I found that you're a youth representative for the North East,
yep.
And that you beat Jack Cunningham.
Good on you.
he's the youngest councillor in Sunderland, and he's kind of very ambitious.
Is that right?
Yeah. Anyway, she beat him by over 100 votes, so that's great. Very bold and radical policies I've read about, so I'm delighted that you're
Excellent.
Able to help us with our meeting tonight.
Thank you very much for that. Thanks everyone for coming along to this meeting. I know it can be hard to sort of like engage with stuff like this when Brexit's so omnipresent and everything that's going on. So that's really fantastic that you could come tonight. But as internationalists, we've got to look beyond the borders of Europe. Brexit's going to have huge implications in this country, but our involvement in NATO has profoundly affected the world over the last 70 years, and it will continue to do so in the future. Pam introduced me as the youth rep on Labour's National Policy Forum for the North. My role on the MPF is sort of like bringing together all the submissions that CLPs and individuals have made about foreign policy and relaying them to the Shadow Cabinet with varying degrees of success. But my section is Young Labour, and I'm really proud that Young Labour actually passed a motion in favour of withdrawing from NATO at its last policy conference. So it shows that like these things aren't impossible. There is actually a significant degree of support for them in the party, and that we don't need to see withdrawing as NATO as some sort of like utopian project that it's no point in pushing for. I only got involved in politics in 2015 when Jeremy Corbyn ran for Labour leader. And that whole movement to me, the only reason it sort of dredged me out of political apathy, because it gave us an opportunity to challenge the sort of dominant ideas in politics, offer something radically different, and sort of discuss whatever we want. And we've done a really brilliant job of overthrowing the sort of the narratives around austerity in the party and the idea that we have to live within our means and balance the books all the time amongst although the right of the PLP causes no end of problems, you won't find any of them arguing that privatisation needs to happen more or that we need to cut spending as much, well certainly not as much as they used to. We're already in a situation now where Jeremy Corbyn is day in day out being demonised as a terrorist and a threat to national security. So we haven't even really scratched at the surface of challenging NATO and the military-industrial complex in Britain. So the more we tiptoe around this, it's not going to make it any better. We need to confront things like our membership of NATO head on. Issues like NATO, as well as stuff like Trident and immigration, are often sort of shirked by people in the party because they fear the response of the traditional working class, so it's said, and that people won't vote for NATO withdrawal. It's far too sort of dramatic a policy. But NATO doesn't advocate or advance the interests of the working class in Britain nor in any other country. And if we can't stand up for the working class's interests in this, then what's the point of being sort of a party of working class representation? I actually had this debate in Oxford University Labour Club, where my opponent said that because Ernest Bevin's a working class hero, then we should support NATO because he tried to implement it. So that's the sort of thing we're up against. During, I think, in the 2015 leadership election especially, we came up with the idea of a defence diversification agency, which is sort of like you, instead of spending all this money on the military, you can take those skills and retrain people and sort of use it for industrial projects and stuff. That's something that Jeremy Corbyn's written about a lot. I think I've seen one motion come through the National Policy Forum about it, but I think more of us should be pushing that to just sort of challenge the way that the military is so dominant in our ideology, because the Shadow Cabinet have been pretty slow on sort of taking this up and advancing it. There's an Atlanticist tradition in Labour which will take more time to overthrow than the sort of austerity neoliberal culture that I've been talking about. It's very deeply rooted. Attlee's government in 1949 was one of the founding members of NATO, and even Éireann Bevan became a cheerleader for the organisation eventually, despite being, you know, one of the most left-wing members of Attlee's government. And ever since then, we've never really questioned why we need to be in NATO or why it should control all of our foreign policy objectives. E.P. Thompson wrote this great essay called Outside the Will, where he says that the world and the left especially was overcome by this NATO-politan ideology, and politics was conducted entirely within the strategic premises of NATO. He said that the sort of symptoms of this were a sort of lack of optimism, and utopianism was sort of the worst swear word you could throw at someone. And I think like that's kind of true with Labour today. We don't really, we just sort of, we're very defeatist about the idea of challenging foreign policy in this way, even though we've made good advances opposing Iraq. Like, no one really supports Iraq in the Labour Party anymore, so we've made good progress on that. But otherwise, there is a real fear to challenge things like that. But yeah, so the Labour Party's been a key ally of NATO, and Labour governments have been a key supporter of NATO all the way from Korea to Afghanistan and to Syria nowadays. And NATO's never changed from being an engine purely for the promotion of America's global interests. It's never really served any other ends, if you look at all the conflicts it's been involved in since then. Some people have said that under President Trump we might be sort of seeing NATO take a less prominent role, as he's sort of rebuffed the idea of NATO a little bit and suggested that America could walk away from it. But recently Trump's just suggested that Jair Bolsonaro could join NATO. So I think we're looking at a really dangerous future if NATO continues to have such a position in the world. And, you know, if we don't walk away from an alliance of Trump plus Erdogan in Turkey, who's carrying out ethnic cleansing against the Kurds, plus potentially Bolsonaro, then what's the point in having a Labour government if we're just going to end up supporting these wars anyway? It's not patriotic to remain in NATO if this is the sort of people we're going to be allying with, or anything that the right of the party would usually sort of bring up to support it. It's definitely not safe when you consider that NATO is in command of all of our nuclear weapons. We relinquished them to NATO in the 1960s, meaning that if you're anti-nuclear weapons, you've got to be anti-NATO. NATO's already violated the nuclear non-proliferation treaty, like, just after it came in place. So it doesn't contribute to a safer world for us or for anyone in the world. And these are the arguments we need to be putting forward in the Labour Party and elsewhere in order to shift the narrative, which Young Labour have already kind of done a bit. To bring that all together, where I'm sat as someone who's involved with Labour's policymaking process, it really helps when people pass motions in their CLPs. It'll take a lot of careful organising to sort of negotiate around the sort of attitudes that I've been talking about towards NATO. But I believe it's very much doable, considering the journey we've been on in Labour since 2015. It's not going to be an easy task to get Labour to commit to leaving NATO. Like, even to me now, it seems like a little bit pie in the sky. Like, if we had an order of priorities, it might not be near the top. But actually, at the same time, there's no better time than now with Jeremy Corbyn as leader, who's been a long time ally of Stop the War Coalition, and also a long time opponent of NATO withdrawal. As much as I saw Paul Mason the other day tweet that Jeremy Corbyn supported the Remain and Reform idea within NATO, which is totally untrue. But anyway, I think, like, yeah, as I said, now is the time to be pushing forward for these arguments as NATO orientates itself more towards the sort of violent dictators who we all oppose, and while Labour is in this process of slightly improving. So that's the note I want to end it on.
Thank you very much.